نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ادع الى سبيل ربك بالحكمة والموعظة الحسنة. وقال تعالى: ومن احسن قولا ممن دعا الى الله وعمل صالحا وقال انني من المسلمين. صدق الله العظيم. With the fadl and grace of Allah Jalla Majduhu, we today again after Ramadan begin with the topic which we were covering and studying some of the ahadith, some of the sayings of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, collected from different books of ahadith. Although the books of ahadith might be different, some might be, I mean, are called or have different names, which are named after mostly the people who wrote them. So Imam Bukhari rahmahullah book is mostly known as Sahih Bukhari because he belonged to that city Bukhara, which still exists in Russia. Imam Muslim, his student, called his book, and it's known as Sahih Muslim. So there are different books, but the person who is center of all those books is one person, and that is the Messenger of Allah, Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the more one has the knowledge of the ahadith and the sayings of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the more one will be enlightened and will have a true comprehensive view, idea about any concept discussed in Islam. That is the reason why Muslims are recommended to follow one of the Imams of Fiqh, because they have a broad vision with which they covered most ahadith which were available at their times and collected at their times. And studying all the ahadith available to them, they came to a conclusion. And those conclusions and discussions or the councils they have actually made at those times to discuss these matters. So it was not a matter, for example, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmahullah studied hadith and then he just concluded something and said to the others, this is what you should do. He had a full council of great muhaddiseen, which were members of that council and that Jama'a. They were great fuqaha. They were Sufiya in that majlis as well, who were known as Sufiya. At that time, although Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah himself is also Sufi, like Imam Abdullah bin Mubarak, Hazrat Dawood Tai, and countless famous people. They were a person who were professional, you can say, specialist in public affairs. So he did not have any much religious knowledge, but public affairs. There was a person who knew how people are dealing in the markets, transactions, so he was specialist in that. There was a person who was expert on history, and there were people who were expert on science and different aspects. So in that council, made up most wise people, and who were specialists in their own disciplines, one issue will be presented, for example, how to pray, or how to do hajj, or any transactional, any international law, any national law, any economic issue will be presented. And then, firstly, the experts who know more Quran, they were asked actually to present the verses relating to that issue. Old verses were then seen, and then the exegesis and the commentary, who were mufassirin, who were expert on the commentary and the meaning, they also gave their view, old views of previous companions which they had. Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah was also a member of that council himself. So he also gave his view as well. And then other things were discussed. And then after long discussions, whatever was proved by the council, and they actually, Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah instructed to a, you can say, now there are typists at that time, there are people who wrote, writers. They wrote the conclusion they reached. And that eventually ended up being the Fiqh Hanafi, Fiqh actually named after Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, because he initiated in that faith. So that's why throughout 13th, 14th centuries, his tariqah and his way, his fiqh have been popular, and also other imams as well, three imams. So they collected the views and the opinions of all other companions previously passed, and that the great tabi'in, students of companions. So they actually, so in actual fact, we who follow any imam, he follows, in a broader sense, he follow Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam more comprehensively than a person who directly say, I follow Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He might only have access to one book of hadith, five books of hadith, six books of hadith, 10 books of hadith. And he claims that I follow, although he might be true in what he means, but he only might have few ahadith relating that topic in his mind, and inevitably he cannot come to the right conclusion very easily. For example, one book of hadith which was unavailable centuries, Ibn Asakir, has round about 100 volumes. So to go through it, which is published now, it was previously unavailable only, it was available in library in Iraq, but now it's published. So even if you ask people who follow, they say we follow muhaddithin, or you can say hadith, if you ask them, have you studied Ibn Asakir Ahadith. And they might say, we only know Bukhari and Muslim and Sahih Sitta. But there might be a hadith in Ibn Asakir which qualifies, or you can say, conditions many things which are found in the hadith in Bukhari and Muslim, or which interprets and through the companions or the students in those hadith. So if near the Day of Judgment, they come to the conclusion, oh, we have done a mistake, we didn't know that this hadith existed. It is no use at that time. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I covered this lesson before, that who, to the nearest meaning, whoever will give fatwa and teach or say that this is the masala of any deen, and he is not a qualified mujtahid, he is not qualified to give that opinion, he is, even though he is right, he is still in hellfire. I already covered that, if you remember. یعنی حدیث کا مفہوم تھا کہ جو اس قابل نہیں اجتہاد کے درجے پر فائز نہیں اور وہ فتویٰ دیتا ہے being independent, he, even though he is right, he still actually will enter fire. And a person, Prophet صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم said, a person who is qualified, جو مجتہد ہے, who is rightly seats on his, which the seat which he deserves, and he even in coming to the conclusion with honest effort is wrong, he still gets one reward. If he is right, he is double rewarded. And if he is wrong, he also is rewarded. Usko phir bhi swab milta hai, mujtahid. And basic conditions of mujtahid, there are many conditions, but let me just say a few of them. One is to know the Arabic language, not only in the classical sense, but also the history or the Arabic language widely used at the Prophet ﷺ time, different literary and lexical meaning of Arabic language. Secondly, to have a vision of thoroughly over the Quran and the abrogated verses of the Quran and the conditional verses of the Quran and unconditional and qualified and unqualified verses of the Quran. Conditional means when something generally, one hukam, one order is mentioned in any verse, sometimes it is conditioned in the, there is exception to it in another verse, which if a person does not know, he will actually follow or come to the wrong conclusion. Thirdly, he should have knowledge of the tafsir of Quran. Fourthly, he should have an insight of a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and which hadiths are cancelled and abrogated, which are not, which hadith, what Prophet ﷺ said in which environment, is it in the time of war, was Prophet ﷺ home, in the mosque, in the gathering, where Prophet ﷺ gave this instruction, was it Ramadan or not Ramadan, what was the circumstances, to know those circumstances, and then the meaning of that hadith given by the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and at least he should be aware of 70% of the opinions and aqwal of tabi'in, the students of companions. If he have known all these things, then one can say he is qualified to give his opinion. If he cannot find it, and you can say, or draw conclusion himself from any Quran and hadith, if it is not provided by any of the previous ones. Otherwise, it is a, you can say, spiritual suicide or religious suicide, you can say. So be content and serene and satisfied with following one of the Imam means you are following a broad view of the, you can say, companion and Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam himself. Then you will individually endeavor, then it will be your effort only and it will be a limited following. So that is why you find great muhaddiseen who you read a hadith of, like, for example, Imam Nawawi, Mahyuddin, who was a great scholar. His book is famous. People, normal people also read that, Riyadus Salihin, and he also written a commentary on Muslim Sharif, Mirqa, in the name of Mirqa, Sharah Muslim. He himself, although being a great master of hadith, in the science of hadith, he is a follower of Imam Shafi, Imam Ibn Taymiyyah, who widely known, and he held the seat of Ijtihad, and he was a mujtahid by himself, but he mainly followed the views and explanations of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal. So, Imam Ibn al-Qayyim Jawzi and Imam Hafiz Ibn Kasir, Imam al-Din Ibn Kasir, Ahmullah. So, are they saying that we were studying the some of the ahadith of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam relating to training and tarbiyah, and the methods of tarbiyah which Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam employed, which means, or we can say, to enjoin good and forbid evil, or to correct people, or the methodology of correcting people in different environments, that what guidance we can attain from the ahadith of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Sayyidina Abu Hurairah رضي الله تعالى عنه, this is hadith narrated in Ibn Majah and other books of hadith as well, said that a person, a Bedouin, entered the mosque of Nabawi, Masjid Nabawi mein dakhil hua ek Arabi, in the mosque at that time there were other companions and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself was also sitting there. He said, "O Allah, forgive me and Muhammad," he prayed, "and do not forgive anyone else." So simply he made a, you can say, beseech Allah jalla majduhu in a prayer for forgiveness for him, and because he had a great love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. کہا کہ آپ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کی مغفرت فرمائیں اور کسی کی نہیں فرمائیں. The messenger of Allah, peace and blessings be upon him, smiled and said, "You are narrowing something very vast." کہ آپ ایک بہت وسیع چیز کو تنگ کر رہے ہیں, یعنی اللہ کی رحمت کی طرف اشارہ ہے. Now you can see a person, maybe in, for you as well, maybe you are aware and brought up in an Islamic environment and Islamic teaching. Another person might not be. Although you both have, are human beings and you have two legs and you look alive from being a human being, but that person might be 5, 6, 10 years behind where you are, because he did not get that privilege. So, if any person you see sitting in the mosque or wherever you go, do not, you can say, judge or analogize the level of that person on your level. تو جیسے یہ بندہ یہ عرابی آیا ہے تو اس نے کہا کہ اللہ میری مغفرت فرما اور آپ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کی اور محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کی اور کسی کی مغفرت نہ فرما. تو دیکھیں اس نے کیا اور کسی کی مغفرت نہ کرو. Do not forgive anyone else. It is obviously it is incorrect to say that do not forgive anyone. But what was the response of Rasulullah صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم? He smiled. So a person who says something out of not knowing or ignorance, he does not deserve harshness and you can say strict attitude and behavior. And Prophet ﷺ very nicely said, you are narrowing something very vast. So he ﷺ also corrected him in a best manner and said, explain to him that if the mercy of Allah Jalla Majduhu is so vast and you are narrowing it, no response from the Bedouin. Then the Bedouin went away to the furthest part of the mosque and began to urinate. So he, after hearing this from Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the Masjid Nabawi, it was not a very big mosque at that time, he went to the furthest part of the mosque and he began to urinate. So this again, obviously, you and me understand this because we have got that knowledge of cleanliness. But this person who was coming, who was only a believer, usne imaan laya tha, lekin unko ilm nahi tha, they did not know. After Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained to him, when the companions try to stop him, Rasulullah said, do not stop. Do not stop the man who, when he is urinating. Then Prophet ﷺ asked the Bedouin that, are you not a Muslim? He said, of course. He said, what made you urinate in the mosque? He said, by the one who sent you with the truth, I thought it was just like any other place. So that's why I did it. The Prophet ﷺ called for a bucket of water and poured it over the urinary asked. And then the companion or the person who did this, he said, ke mere maa baap aap sallallahu alaihi wasallam par qurban, be my mother and father, be ransomed. Sacrifice for Rasulullah. He did not rebuke me or insult me. He just said, we do not urinate in this mosque. It was only built for the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now your companion himself is recalling that incident. And imagine that how great lesson he had learned. That how one should deal with it. People who do not know. So, first lesson we learn from this hadith is that we should be gentle with those people, anything they are doing which they do not know. For example, someone comes in the mosque, he is not wearing a cap, or someone is not praying correctly, someone who is newcomer, you can say, and he does not know, and he crosses you while you are praying, or he does any other mistake, he does not say salam to you, Do not be arrogant to him, but he might not know the significance of any particular act he is doing. So first lesson from the hadith we learn that we should be gentle with those people who are ignorant and who do not know, and teach them without rebuking and insulting him. But so long as that he is not acting out of stubbornness. So if you know, he knows that he is on purpose doing it, then it's a different matter. Then different method will be employed. Other thing we learn from this hadith, that when the companions instantly try to stop him, that the concept of purity and najasa and filth was very well established in the minds of companions. Ki sahaba ikram ke dil mein ye baat baithi thi ki paaki wo badi cheez hai. That's why I always say to you as well, take full care when you go to istinja and to toilet. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that I seen a person who was punished in the grave when he passed over it, and he said he was punished because he did not take care of the drops or traces of urine when he urinated. Which also we can understand means that when a person has done istinja and they do not do it rightly, and then maybe drops or traces of urine or flow after he has finished istinja and wudu, and then he becomes neglectful. Then he doesn't pay attention, he says, who wants to do istinja and then wudu? But he should know that he has violated the command of fiqh and he does not have wudu anymore. He should go back and he should also wash his private parts and also clean the cloth as well, purify the cloth, his clothes as well, and then do wudu, and then pray. Even though he is in jamaat, chahe wo jamaat mein kyun na ho, standing, he should go finally. How many times I know I have gone? Many times I have gone, just left the jamaat. Many times I remember a few times I have led jamaat, and I had actually to say to the people, actually, that I have done not have wudu, and I have to go and do wudu and come back again. So, isme koi sharam ki baat nahi hai. Sharam gunah se karna chahiye. One should feel shame for from the sin and from immodest behavior, not from purity and cleanliness and righteous behavior. Once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came into the mosque to lead the prayers in Masjid al-Nabawi, full jamaat and gathering of companions were there. They were ready. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came and stood on the musalla in front of them to lead the prayers. Then Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam suddenly said, stop. Be here, I am just coming in a few moments. Then Prophet ﷺ went, and the companions say that when he came back, drops of water like diamonds were flowing down from his blessed hair and beautiful hair and his body. And he has taken a bath. And then he also said to the companion that I forgot to take a bath. Maine ghusl nahi kiya tha to main idhar aaya. And I remembered that I should have done ghusl. So I went, I was in the state of janaba, so I went and did ghusl and he came. Ab dekhen, ab yadi Hazrat Jibrail alayhi salam would come and say to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, aapne ghusl nahi kiya ya bhool gaye. Or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have. But this is to set example for us that if the Prophet ﷺ status is not degraded because of not actually of going and doing ghusl again, me and you, if we have not done wudu, or our wudu has broke, or it has become nullified, invalidated, and if we leave the jamaat and I can go and do the wudu. There will be no shame, or your status will not come down anyhow. And it is allowed to walk in front of the people in the row as well. If you have wudu invalidates during the prayer, normally you are not allowed to walk in front of the people who are praying. It's sin. But on that stage, when you want to have to do wudu, then a person can walk, he can see wherever the short distance is, he can walk in front of the row of the people who are praying, and he can go back. But in all cases, he should not continue with his prayers. It is sin to pray. So many mashayikh as well, they were very strict on this. Normally, I think when people go into the toilet, and then in a few minutes they are out again, one can just imagine that how careful they have been with doing istinja and actually fulfilling the need of the purity. So one should at least do learn how to do istinja as well. Uske bhi adab hai, uske bhi etiquette hai. It is no use that one speaking of very high, you can say, masail of Anbiya alayhi salam and arifin, and after all 50 years person asks, can you tell me in detail the etiquettes and the rule and regulation to do istinja, and then the person is just quiet. And he is thinking, come on. So, isliye hum ye kehte hain, hamare mishayikh ye teach karte hain, ke pehle aqaid and then the necessary and basic fiqh, the ruling jurisprudence learn karo, aur phir apni islah karo, ye zaruri hai. It is farz to purify your inner self from the filth as well, and then get involved in any other field of knowledge in detail you want. So, iska khyal rakhna chahiye, one should be very cautious of this. So, the precaution, taking precaution against impurity was well established in the minds of companions of Rasulullah. So, that is why they hastened to denounce it. Other thing we learn from it, the idea of forbidding evil and enjoining the good, commanding the good and forbidding evil, achhe kaam ka hukam aur burai se rokna, that concept was also very much established in the mind of companion. They did not seek permission from Rasulullah ﷺ to do it, because they had known that Prophet ﷺ already has given instruction generally that one should stop. So, although Prophet ﷺ was present, but they actually, as soon as they saw something which was happening, which was wrong, they hastened to correct it. Although they lacked the wisdom which Rasulullah ﷺ provided them later or taught them, but we can find at least this piece of guidance as well, that very well established in their mind concept of nijasat, impurity and purity, and also the enjoining good and forbidding evil, that correcting people and stopping if anything wrong is happening according to one's own level. So ye bhi unke tha. So obviously it's a lesson for us as well to take great care for impurity as well as enjoining good, and so if there's nothing stopping us, we should employ and the means at our disposal to stop that evil. But yes, don't expect that everyone will listen to you, everyone will submit to what you are saying, everyone will follow what you say. No. This has not happened in the time of prophets, and even in the time of Rasulullah ﷺ, they were disbelievers and who did not pay heed to his message. And there are people now. Your responsibility is only to carry out the command to the best of your abilities only. You are free from that duty then. Now if the other person is not taking heed, it is up to him, because Allah Jalla Majdahu has given freedom of will to every human being, and that is a manifestation of that he is not listening to you. He is using his freedom. Okay. But yes, that should not stop you from carrying out the command of Amar bil Maruf wa Nahi anil Munkar, which means that if you see a person is not doing any good thing which he should be doing, that you should instruct him, and if he is doing anything wrong, you should admonish him. Because one person gave example of seeds, that you carry on sowing the seeds and throwing the seeds in the field, in the meadow. It is up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that which seed will grow and which seed will not. Aapka kaam hai ki aap seed fankte rahe. Means that the guidance, seed of guidance and hadayat, aap fankte rahe. Jahan bhi ja rahe hain, wherever you are, throw them in abundance. You don't know which will grow and how much benefit will that seed bring. Which heart is so much receptive that it will take and will fertilize and it will grow, and then it will also reciprocate you as well at one time, that any person's life is changed, any person acts upon a good command or he abstains from evil because you said to him something, it's a great thing. So our, like the farmer, our responsibility is to sow the seeds and throw them wherever we think that it is possible. In the hearts of people, meaning that we explain to them and carry on explaining them, we do not have power to grow them. It is Allah Jalla Majdhu. Similarly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives guidance to people. We cannot. We can only convey the message like the prophets and messengers did. And then Allah Jalla Majdhu knows which seed to grow and we see it to not. And it also depends on the person's want as well. If that person has want of truth, he will get guided. If he doesn't have want, then إِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ عَنِ الْعَالَمِينَ, then Allah is want-free and ghani from all the universe He is created. Now may Allah Jalla Jalaluhu enable me and you to understand and act upon and actually benefit from this hadith and the guidance provided and the commentary provided by the ulama as well. JazakAllah. If you have any question, you can ask regarding this, or if not, any other general comment you want to make.